Digital marketing is going through a shift, and it's app-driven, product-led marketing more than digital advertising and sales, as the 2022 Amplitude report shows. In our interview with Adam Greco, who is product evangelist at Amplitude, we discuss this new groundbreaking trend and the relocation of marketing dollars towards apps to generate more growth. Hello and welcome to the Visionary Marketing Podcast. Today's topic, app-driven product-led marketing is the new cool, with Adam Greco from Amplitude. So here I am with Adam Greco. You're a product evangelist at Amplitude. Hello, Adam. We're going to talk about the product report 2022 that Amplitude wrote this year. And we're going to talk about product-led marketing. We'll come back to that in a minute. Maybe you can give us a brief presentation of yourself and Amplitude and what you guys do in analytics.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on. So my name is Adam Greco. I am a product evangelist for Amplitude. And Amplitude is a digital analytics platform. We help companies accelerate their growth through data. We have about 2,000 customers worldwide. And as a product evangelist, I spend most of my time talking to customers, educating them on what they can do with our products, speaking at industry events. And I come to Amplitude with 20 plus years of experience in the marketing analytics background and switched over to the product analytics world, which is something we can get into a little bit later. So just excited to be here and excited to chat about our report.
Okay. When you're talking about product here, we are focusing mainly on mobile applications and web applications, isn't it?
Yes, primarily mobile applications. But as you know, web applications have become pretty sophisticated these days. So in many cases, traditional websites act just like they are apps in a way. But generally, applications that are driven by a product team that is using product methodologies and data to increase their growth.
Okay. And you launched this study between in August 2021 and August 2022, so over a one-year period, and you used some of the analytics in your systems, didn't you?
Yeah, and this is actually our second report. During the COVID pandemic, as you would expect, there was tremendous growth in the usage of apps. And our first report happened to come out right after that. And so we saw astronomical rates of increased usage of apps. This is our second report. We were curious to see what happened as the pandemic tapered down to see what the growth would be. But since we have so many customers that we track the usage of their apps, we're in a unique position to really see and analyze industry trends across our 2,000 customers. So what we did is the methodology of our study is we basically looked at a bunch of industries and we looked over, as you mentioned, a year period. The apps that we looked at had to have at least 10,000 monthly active users just to get rid of some of the outliers. We also interviewed over 200 business leaders from marketing and product to really kind of get their insights of what's happening. And we looked across all industries and we looked at a lot of the key countries that you would expect in the key regions, APAC, North America, and Europe.
Okay. And here when we talk about products and mobile applications and applications in general, we're talking about all kinds of applications, social and transactional, all kinds of applications.
Absolutely. The ones we tend to focus on are B2B, e-commerce, consumer tech, fintech is a big one. But we actually were surprised to see some of the findings of our report to see kind of what was happening as it related to coming out of the pandemic. Things like, how is the travel industry impacted by the pandemic slowing down? wellness apps. We also mm-hmm. see a lot of situations where new small businesses are getting started because of the fears of a recession or some of the impacts of a potential recession. So I think a lot of things we are curious about is how does the potential economic downturn impact app usage? How does coming out of COVID impact that and so on? So lots of kind of interesting things that we were looking for when we redid this report.
Okay. And one of the first things you found was that global product usage, as you call it, grew 16% year over year. And there's a huge growth regarding these applications, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, our previous report, it was an amazing amount of growth. I think it was in the hundreds of percent. And we actually went into this report expecting that there would be almost like negative product growth because, you know, it was just such an explosive from the year before. But we were actually shocked and surprised that product growth actually increased year over year from August to August. And so there was obviously some ups and downs that we saw in that. But yeah, we were really excited to see that, you know, there was 16% growth showing that, you know, even during kind of tumultuous economic times, there's still massive investments in growth and products as the key driver of that growth.
Yeah. And you monitored this growth across different countries and geographies, and it happens everywhere. I mean, all these countries are going through this amazing growth. Maybe to start with Germany or Australia, maybe in France and the UK. Germany is just huge. I mean, above 30% is
yep.
amazing.
Yeah, and Singapore was actually the highest growth out of mm-hmm. all. You know, their economy seems to be doing really well. But yeah, in Singapore, I think we saw 43% year-on-year growth. Germany, 38%. And then France, 32% growth. So really high growth. And I actually just spent a month in Europe. And what's interesting is Europe is really starting to become a powerhouse of startups. And a lot of these startups are using kind of product teams and product methodology to really differentiate themselves in the marketplace. And there's just a lot of enthusiasm. And I think they always say that whenever you have potential kind of economic downturns, it's actually the best time to start new companies. And we're definitely seeing that. I think Google and many other companies many years ago were born out of kind of the recession that happened back in the early, you know, 2000s.
Mm-hmm. And among these products, and some of them are cropping up, like with 500% growth in monthly active users, like social shopping app On the Look or relationship app Paired, for instance, and a few others. So some of them are actually growing a lot more than others.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's interesting is the largest growth that we saw was a social media app, Be Real. Their numbers were just through the roof. And what's really interesting is the CEO told our company, they use Amplitude to track this growth. And one of the interesting things is he said when he's meeting with his investors, instead of kind of showing them a pitch deck, he's just showing them the growth data in Amplitude because it's more impactful and it really lets them see what's happening. But one of the things that we saw, especially in Europe, is now that a lot of the travel restrictions have gone away, we saw some massive growth in the travel sector. A couple examples is one company based in the Netherlands, Tickets, was up 324%. There was another one in Spain, Travel Perk, was up 253%. And what was most interesting is one company that's actually been around for a while in the UK, Trusted House Sitters, which is a unique business. It's where people who are on vacation can actually house sit or pet sit for people, had 164% growth. And it's just amazing to see how much the travel sector has kind of kicked back mm-hmm. after the pandemic.
I mean, all these apps are European-based. Does that mean that those that are actually going through the highest growth are all European, or is it just your choice of applications that, you know, sideline the American ones?
Yeah, we definitely saw the Europe one have the most in the travel sector. In North America, we saw a large growth in SaaS apps and health and wellness apps. I think a lot of people, want to kind of get back in shape after maybe sitting around for a couple of years in the pandemic, maybe putting on some pounds. We definitely saw an APAC. Fintech has been huge. That's been a big growth area for them. And specifically, since I know France is of interest, in France, I think the two that jumped out at us, one is, and I may not pronounce this correctly, is Quanto, is founded, is,
Quanto.
yeah, they're in Paris. What we saw, they're the financial company. They help with payments, expense management, accounting solutions. They had 75% year-over-year growth. And then Luko, which is an insurance tech company, really focused on transparency and had an open model to let everyone who uses their product understand, where their money is going. And they have this cool kind of 30-70% split to kind of guarantee that only 30% goes towards the overhead that people always worry about. That's where their insurance money is going. They had 119% growth. And so, again, it's really kind of all over the board, different companies, different regions. But it's just really fascinating to see. And I think a lot of them are kind of pandemic based.
Okay, interesting. And now you've also analyzed these data by industry, and one of the first industries that you've analyzed is HR staffing and job searching.
Yeah, this one was really fascinating because everyone had talked about the great resignation, people worried about losing a job because of a recession, but then during the pandemic, people felt very empowered, like they can find another job anytime they want. But overall, we saw that this industry had 118% year-over-year growth. And so we really feel like what we're seeing is people are pounding on job-related apps and products, and they're really trying to use them to figure out, what are their job options, where can they find their next job. Also, I assume a lot of that has to do with kind of networking with peers about finding jobs. And so that's been really interesting to see. We didn't expect that HR and staffing, especially as you're thinking about a downturn and recession, that you thought maybe that would be an area that would go down, but it actually, increased pretty significantly.
Okay, so much for HR and job search. We've talked about banking and fintechs with Quanto in France, but there are also other areas of fintech that you've investigated, and especially crypto.
Yeah, I mean, crypto has been very, very in the news lately, and the whole crypto market has definitely lost a lot of steam. What's interesting, though, and again, this may just be timing of when our product report ended in August, but we actually saw about a 26% year-over-year growth in crypto apps. So I think there may be a little bit of a kind of a news story hype that makes it seem like crypto is going down a lot more than it actually is. We definitely are, seeing it in the news and the whole FTX debacle, but we're actually seeing still a lot of usage in crypto apps, and it'll be interesting to see in our next year's report to see if all the news actually does have an impact on app usage.
Okay, quite interesting. Now, there's also something that you've found out. You were fearing a SaaS crash this year, and it appears to be having been overblown. So it didn't really happen.
Yeah, our SaaS figures, we showed that they were up on average about 25%. And I think that, the SaaS valuations of companies, I mean, Amplitude is a SaaS company. I mean, it seems like nowadays many B2B apps are SaaS apps. Definitely stock prices have gone down, but it has not impacted product usage. And so we look at product usage as an interesting indicator, and it may be that the market valuation of companies versus the actual you know, usage of these products is kind of misaligned. And our hope and what we're seeing is that if SaaS app usage continues to stay strong, that once the economy turns around, I think that the valuations that have been kind of pounded will probably go back up, is what our assumption would be. You'd think that if, you know, the usage was way down, or if the stock price is way down, the usage of these apps would be way down, but that hasn't been the case in our data.
That's good news. So there's no new internet bubble coming our way. That's good news. Hopefully. Okay. Now to finish with this, maybe we could spend a little bit of time on product-led growth, because it seems to be something which is very much flavor of the month. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, and this is pretty personal to me. I come from a marketing background and joined a product analytics organization, Amplitude, and so I really believe firmly in product-led growth. And what we're seeing, for those who aren't familiar, product-led growth, the idea is that companies have to decide where they want to spend their money. In the past, a lot of money was spent in sales and marketing. If you're, say, a SaaS company, you might hire hundreds of salespeople. And now what we're starting to see, and for a couple of reasons I can get into, product-led growth has really taken off. And the idea here is that companies are deciding to spend more money on their actual digital products instead of buying advertisements or hiring salespeople. Mm. And the idea is that if you have a really good digital app, that the word will spread and people will tell their friends, their family, more people will come, and so on. And so the idea is, the way you could best differentiate yourself in the market is to have the best product. And the way that you have the best product is to put your money where your mouth is and invest in the product. And a lot of companies like ours, we have a free offering where people can kind of try the product for free. And then once they like it, it becomes a habit for them. Then they hit certain limits and then they have to pay. And you'll see that across the board, products like Calendly is a big one where people use it to schedule meetings, and then all of a sudden you have to pay for it. But this whole concept of product-led growth has really gained steam because marketing, it's difficult to show your return on investment these days now that privacy policies are becoming so strict and cookies are starting to be deleted. So a lot of the ways that in the past people would show the return on investment or return on ad spend are becoming more difficult, and companies are realizing that one of the best ways they could spend their money is to invest in the product, where they can make sure that people are having really good product experiences.
Yeah, it maybe doesn't mean the end of marketing. It maybe the beginning of a new kind of marketing, which is more word of mouth marketing orientated and working based on the product, on recommendations, and the way that people actually can spread the word around.
Yeah, I mean, marketing's never going to go away. I think you're right. It is a different type of marketing, and I think it's more of a shift. It could be that 10 years from now, you know, people decide to shift the other way and do a lot more for advertising. But right now, we just happen to see a massive shift of dollars being shifted. And also, subtly, we're seeing that the CPO, which is the chief product officer at many organizations, which is a role that didn't even exist many years ago, is starting to become very prevalent. And we're starting to see that the chief marketing officer is somewhat ceding a little bit of budget and power over to the chief product officer. But it doesn't have to be confrontational. We actually see that some of the leading companies are starting to realize that marketing and product should all really start to work together and almost join forces, because the customer doesn't really care whether they're interacting with the marketing department or the product department. They just want to come to a website or an app and they want to, you know, have a good experience. They want to have a good product that they can use, get value from it. And how they got to the product isn't as critical as are they continuing to use the product week over week, month over month. And that's why I think the smartest companies are getting the marketing departments and the product departments to realize we need to work together, because the customer is what's important, not our internal departmental hierarchy.
Yeah, fascinating. What I hear in what you're saying as well is that maybe in the future there's going to be less and less money spent in digital advertising.
That's what we believe, and that's what we're starting to see. We're starting to see a lot of organizations who are questioning the value and the ROI of the money they're spending in digital advertising. But and here's the reason for that, is if you spend, 50,000 euro a month on digital advertising, you're definitely going to get some impact of that, but you're going to have to keep spending 50,000 euro every month. You're going to have to keep that going. Otherwise, if you stop spending, you're going to stop getting things. It doesn't really have a compounding effect, but we are finding the companies are telling us that the investments they're making in the product is actually having a multiplier effect, because it does get more people to join, to use the product, to become loyal. And they feel like they almost get like 2, 3, or 4 euro per dollar spent when they invest in the product, but they feel like it's a 1-to-1 when they spend it in marketing. And that's just, again, that's just the feedback we're hearing from companies. And that's why, as a company, Amplitude has really grown. We keep growing, 30, 40% year over year, because companies are investing in product. And the way that they see how those product investments are paying off is by using a digital analytics platform like ours.
Well, that's very interesting. Thank you, Adam. We're definitely going to keep an eye on this product-led marketing trend, which is groundbreaking and showing a shift in the use of marketing and marketing dollars. Thank you very much indeed.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to the Visionary Marketing Podcast. We hope this piece has been useful to you. Don't forget to give us a good rating on whichever platform you use. And we hope to see you soon on the Visionary Marketing Podcast channel.